It's the polka hour. How you doing out there, eh? Okay, Davis, are we done with the polka? Or are we going to do that for the whole hour? All right. So, after a few technical difficulties, we're finally here, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Inside the Black Box, Radio Sandy Springs' weekly program on science and technology. I'm Pete Ludovis, here with my co-host, Bill Hunt, who's returned from England, right?
Yes, jolly old England.
And how was England for you?
It was great. The talk went well. It was with a bunch of environmental scientists about groundwater and contamination in the atmosphere and sensors for that. But the interesting thing in Lancaster is public drunkenness is just off the chain. Every cab had a big sign that said 75-pound soiling charge, which is a British way of saying you puke in my cab, that'll be $150. Just letting you know, it's not like in the tiny print on the glass, you know?
So it's much like UGA on game day, is what you're saying.
Yes, yes. It's like the largest cocktail party in the world all the time.
Wow. All right, so it's good to have you back. We also have a special guest in the studio today, my 7-year-old son, Dylan. Dylan, you want to say hi to Mommy?
Hi, Mom.
Okay, say that again into the microphone.
Hi, Mom.
Okay, so we'll be going to Dylan from time to time for his expert opinion.
Yeah.
On a rather awkward topic, today's topic, if you look on the website, is potpourri for a thousand, Alex, because as of Friday
afternoon... Or as we say in Mississippi, potpourri.
There you go. And what is the origin of potpourri? Were you going to research that? Is that the French for...
Probably.
...crap you should throw out, but you put in a bowl on top of your toilet
tank? And it smells decent, so yeah.
Right. I don't know.
Rose petals and other crap that you meant to throw away. Yeah.
But one of the things mentioned on the website was looking at these male enhancement products. Mm-hmm. And admittedly, I'm off on a bit of a rant about this because I was grading tests late last night, a couple of days ago, and saw tons and tons of these infomercials for this. And I still get tons and tons of emails as well. Do you get emails on these things as well?
Oh, all the time.
All
yeah,
the time,
yeah.
Constantly.
Like they were talking just to me.
Right, exactly. I get the breast implant ones.
How did
as
they
well.
Know?
Yeah, there you go.
Right.
All right. So before we start with today's topic, which will deal with sort of a potpourri of science and technology issues, and by all means, because we are doing sort of the potpourri thing, feel free to give us a call at 404-943-1620 or toll free if you're outside the Atlanta Sandy Springs area. 866-356-0789. And, of course, if you're listening to us online, those numbers are both posted on the RadioSandySprings.com website. So, let's see. Last week, we had Mark Hay, mm-hmm. who's with the School of Biology at Georgia Tech, and he talked about a number of things like reef ecology, getting drugs that had anti-malarial activity from reefs in Fiji. You may recall, it was, a couple months ago, we had Julia Kubanik, his colleague, who's mm-hmm. the chemist on that project.
Right.
And he actually talked about some really neat stuff, namely that the Fijians, that is right, that's what Julia told us they're called, who, by the way, are very upset about this marriage between Tom Cruise and Kate Holmes.
As well they should be.
And that's happening today, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's
unavoidable to know about this.
They are no doubt completely outraged. But in any case, one of their exports, believe it or not, is something Mark called live rock. And this was coral rocks that are simply stripped from the coral reef, which is a very, very bad thing. Mark pointed out that most of the really good coral reefs are severely, basically wiped out to a large degree. And this live rock is great for aquariums like the Georgia Aquarium. And the neat thing about it is you can harvest the rock, and because many of the coral polyps and other live animals on and in the pores of the rock, because they're used to being exposed to air at low tide, rather, they can survive for days or weeks just if you keep them moist. Right?
Uh-huh.
So you don't even have to keep them submerged. And they ship this all over the world. Now, what he, through his NIH grant, did is got, I think it was another company, to donate pumice, porous volcanic rock.
Mm-hmm.
And what they would do is, just like you farm or culture pearls or farm in aquaculture clams or oysters, you simply sort of put these things on strings and hang them out in the lagoon. The animals naturally go there and start growing. So you can produce live rock without wrecking your reef. And now this is a big export for the Fijians. And, in fact, he said it was either several hundred or thousand pounds or maybe even several tons of this actually went back to the Georgia Aquarium. So next time you're in the, let me see if I get this right, it's the coral reef exhibit. That's that one with the waves going over the top. It's sort of a flat
wall. I've been
wall.
There, but all I've seen is the back of other people's heads.
Oh,
it's
okay.
been too crowded.
Did you go there for the engineering
yeah,
gala?
Yeah, and you couldn't, yeah.
It's just too crowded?
Well, that's a long story. Yeah, it was okay. way too crowded.
Right, but that's
really,
the one.
It looked like there's really cool stuff there, but.
But that's the one was in that's in the ballroom, right, where you have the beluga whales eyeballing you.
Oh, yeah, it's great. But so let me understand this. So the pumice can be used as sort of a seed layer for
yeah,
the growth
exactly.
of the coral?
Right. And really? It's even no it's kidding. More porous than coral rock, so it's actually lighter. So it's actually a more efficient way to get these animals
wow.
around. And that way you have sort of the natural, you know, mm-hmm. coral animals
and
from
seed
the
growth of the coral.
Right.
Wow.
Exactly.
Interesting.
So that was cool. And, of course... yeah, so maybe, let's see, we got a few minutes that we're going to take our first break. We started a little late here this morning. We had some trouble with the guys trying to put stripes down in the parking lot. So they're
or
out
asphalt,
there.
Asphalt, or I'm not sure what they're doing.
They were paving it last weekend.
They look like good American citizens.
And this weekend they're putting down the lines, right?
Yeah.
Which apparently if, you know, now that we've got a new Congress.
I'm going to flash my INS badge.
We won't make. You know, lines that are 40 feet apart to fit the Hummers and things
right,
like that.
Right, yeah.
So that should be good. Okay, so today's topic, as I mentioned today, by all means, if you have a question or comment, give us a call. We're willing to entertain almost anything. But, so I got on this rant about these male enhancement mm-hmm. products because of something called, Extenz. And I believe that's extenze.com. And by the way, a link to that website is on our website for the show today. And I guess what bothered me is you see these all the time, and people make all sorts of claims about mm-hmm. these, what's the word they use for them now? Nutraceuticals, right?
Really?
So they have nutrient value, and they think of them as a pharmaceutical.
Mm-hmm.
And let's face it, modern pharmaceuticals, there's no difference, right? Much of what mm-hmm. we do is we concentrate something found in nature and purify it.
Largely.
Mark Hay actually pointed mm-hmm. out that many of our current pharmaceutical products come from land plants or mm-hmm. animals. Very few of them come from marine animals, so that's exactly what he and Julia Kabanek are mm-hmm. doing. And I guess what bothered me the most is they had a guy who looked dorkier than you or I, Bill,
ooh, wow,
in a lab coat saying,
that's tough.
Clinically proven. But when I went to the site, there was no clinical studies, and that's what we're going to take up. When we come back after the break, you're listening to Inside the Black Box on Radio Sandy Springs, 1620 AM and RadioSandySprings.com. All right, welcome back to Inside the Black Box, where we're talking about male enhancement products.
And more broadly, if that's not your interest, herbal medicines, if you will.
Right.
So
right.
historically, it's been sort of interesting in modern medicine that, you know, if you go back a couple of thousand years, herbs were used for medical purposes, including there was an archaeologist, and I apologize for my lack of remembering names, but... in Archaeology magazine about a decade ago that there were plants that were used to help a woman abort a fetus.
Mm-hmm.
There were plants to keep them from getting pregnant. And this one particular plant for aborting fetuses was on the back of a Roman coin. It mm-hmm. was grew wild in Lebanon, and it was basically harvested mm-hmm. to extinction.
Did it actually work?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, one thing that'll be interesting is in the Orient, you've got all these things like, you know, rhinoceros horns and all this other kind of stuff.
Right, which they believe are aphrodisiacs.
Right. So, I mean, it's kind of interesting. We've gone through modern medicine sort of looking down upon herbal treatments and that sort of thing, and then now there's sort of a return to that in terms of mm-hmm. acknowledging that they're extracting these molecules. Right. Morphine and heroin are also, you know, for pain management.
Oh, right, exactly. I mean, a lot of pain management medications are derivatives mm-hmm. of those very things.
Right. So, I mean, it goes beyond the male enhancement, but, I mean, there's, you know, and there's interesting regulatory issues as well.
Right.
Which, you know, that the... Right. FDA does not regulate the things you buy at GNC.
Right.
You know.
And the FDA, as far as I've been able to ascertain from looking at various review articles as well as FDA documentation, has never approved any product for you know, male enhancement, right? That's that's a, I guess, an, a permanent growth of that particular organ. And in fact, it's an interesting thing. They have approved plenty of both devices, very simple devices. The old vacuum pump that you saw from the funny thing on, what was it? Was it the first Austin Powers movie? Or the second
really?
First one?
First
right.
one.
Davis, who's working the soundboard, has given me the okay. It's the first
he's,
one, right?
Well, yeah, he's a aficionado of
Austin Powers.
Austin
not
Powers
those
film
sort
noir.
Of Swedish
yeah, right.
enlargement
no,
pumps.
No, 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 no.
And that's
no.
what it was, wasn't it? He was getting out of the cryogenic preservation.
Right.
And they said, well, that's not mine. And he's like, you know, Austin Powers on why I like the Swedish.
Right, right.
That very device actually has been approved to, you know, assist in sexual dysfunction. So for a temporary little help with erections, things like that. And so there are FDA devices and drugs approved, Viagra, and a lot of other things are approved for that as well. But nothing to get permanent growth. And here's the funny thing. I see these ads all the time, and Bill and I get all the emails. And you wonder...
And I don't know why we get all these
I think
emails.
We're specifically targeted.
Yeah, yeah. Me with my Irish background.
And, no, and then yeah, right. the funny thing is...
How, who knew? Yeah.
I actually looked up... herbal Viagra, because I get a lot of these ones for herbal Viagra, which I never understood, right? Because, yeah, I'm not going to waste my money on herbal Viagra. My wife and I, we've been using all-natural supplements to jumpstart things in the bedroom for years. We just called it tequila. So, so the interesting thing is, how do these people make money? And I guess what bothered me is they said there was a clinical, you know, evidence for this. That's what they implied. I looked up the website. I actually called them. Believe it or not, their phone was busy all day yesterday.
Really? Wow.
Right. So I called the customer service
line. Oh, it's a weekend.
Not the how to order line. But in any case, so I don't really believe there is a clinical study that shows that their particular product does this.
Right.
And, yeah, I was very skeptical, and I was fully prepared to come in the air and just rip these guys a new one. But then I realized probably how they're basing their claim. And there's some spin in this, which is what marketing people do. I looked through the ingredients, and we can talk about the second ingredient here, which is one of the ginsengs. L-arginine, that's a simple, naturally occurring amino acid, which is well documented. I actually looked at some papers explaining how that is a vasodilator, right? So vasodilator.
But it's just one amino acid.
It's just one amino acid, but when you take it in reasonable amounts, it
large
can,
concentrations, wow.
Yeah, and hopefully not really large concentrations.
Right,
but,
right.
And, you know, there's this ginseng that's actually, it's not the normal red ginseng. It's called Siberian ginseng. It actually has a bacteria growing. No, actually, take that back. That's a different thing. It's a different version of that. And everything from oat straw to saw palmetto and sarsaparilla, believe it or not, the ones
I've got
used to make root beer out of.
My friend Pete Edmondson, that's co-inventor of the BlackBerry pager, swears by saw palmetto.
And what does he take it for? Does he take it for these sorts of problems?
Yeah.
Now that you've named him on the air? Okay, that's great.
Well, let's just say his name is Pete Edmondson.
Let's say.
Let's just
know,
say
if he's a co-inventor of
the BlackBerry pager. Okay, let's just... say that.
So I went and looked through every one of these ingredients, and fully half of them are vasodilators, some of which have been clinically...
And please, sir, explain what a vasodilator
right,
is.
Right. So with everything, with geeky scientists, you have to take the word apart. So vaso actually referring to the vascular system, and dilator, to dilate means to expand. So a vasoconstrictor, which people believe
caffeine,
cocoa is.
And caffeine.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
So the blood vessels and the capillaries constrict, you get less... effective blood flow and oxygen transfer and everything else the blood does.
Right.
Vasodilators, it opens them up and you get better blood flow.
Right.
And blood flow has been known to be correlated with this dysfunction.
There is no doubt about that. In fact, those vasodilators have been used to treat sexual dysfunction literally for decades. It wasn't until Viagra came along that was a convenient pill. So the point is, it does have a lot of things in it that are clinically shown to dilate blood vessels. Dilating blood vessels has a clear and well-documented, and there's a funny story about this we'll get to later in the show, connection between male erectile dysfunction and things like that. So in a sense, there is some clinical proof that the natural herbs that they use can do this. So I think they're stretching the truth a bit. But the point is, I don't think you get any of this real enhancement sort of stuff. I think what happens is you buy this, and there's got to be some effect, right? If there's no effect, people would be returning it. And they do give you a money-back guarantee.
Right.
But I think what happens is you use this product, and your sex life is better. because you've got a little more vasodilation. That's a good thing. To put it in perspective, not that I would ever.
Plus, you're wearing the baseball cap that, you know, it's got the logo of the company on it.
Well, you know, maybe.
And wearing that, you know, going to the swap meets and a NASCAR event with something like that on, that'll enhance.
So we're going to leave the mental aspect, the psyche part.
Well, we're going to try to break that down. Yeah,
right.
That does play a part.
And that's completely different. And the funny story about the first use of vasodilators is there was actually a physician, and maybe we can talk about this when we get back, who confounded the medical world by showing very graphically, and I'll tell that story when we come back from the break.
In front of your seven-year-old.
That vasodilators, he's having a good time, right? Yeah. We believe in, you know, more knowledge is better. Dylan, are you just eating the candy on the front desk? What do you, is that a mint?
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll tell that story when we get back, because before that they thought it was all mental. Right? So the mental versus the physiological side of male enhancement, we'll talk about that after this break here on Inside the Black Box, 1620 AM and RadioSandySprings.com. All right, welcome back to Inside the Black Box, where we're talking about herbal treatment specifically for erectile dysfunction.
And later we'll get to the fact that it was the women of ancient Greece that invented the marital aid. But let's.
But is that the pharmaceutical one or the physical one?
It's actually a hard loaf of bread. But we'll.
As opposed to just nagging me until I finally take out the garbage.
Right. Yeah.
All right. So in any case, the site for extends.com is on our website. And basically, our conclusion was that while...
Shouldn't we actually both be using the product, though, if we're going to put it on the website?
No. Will they give us free samples?
I don't know.
That's what they usually do on radio.
It's like Joe Namath wearing the pantyhose. You know, he actually used them.
But in any case, so Bill was talking about the mental versus the physiological causes of these sorts of things.
Right.
And believe it or not, it was in 1983... when the first breakthrough in the treatment of erectile dysfunction came. And prior to that, everybody thought it was a mental thing. And clearly the mental thing is part of it, right?
Right. For example, Rosie O'Donnell, pornography videos, not good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So that would really mess up the mental thing.
Dave just about threw up on his equipment here. Sorry.
All right. So here's the story. And I did get this off of the... Dave's traumatized for life now.
He's not going to be able to sleep for days.
Okay, so I got this off the How Stuff Works webpage. And supposedly it is referenced to the United States Urological Association. And they said that the first real breakthrough in the treatment of erectile dysfunction came in 1983. Prior to this time, it was thought that erectile dysfunction was primarily mental, and clearly that's a part of it. And the concept came crashing down at a U.S. Urological Association meeting in Las Vegas when a Dr. Giles Brindley injected his penis with one of these drugs, and I actually have this, it's clipped off on my copy here, but it's a standard vasodilator. And he appeared on stage and dropped his pants to display one of the first drug-induced erections to this audience of urologists. Now, you talk about going the extra mile for your scientific field. you're not impressed by that? I was impressed by that.
I'm shocked by it.
Was this guy kicked out?
Was he the dinner speaker? If so, get away from my plate.
Yeah,
you know,
that's,
don't stand. Look, you know, it's bad enough having to eat the string beans and the chicken, but you know, please get away from my plate.
So the point is that's one piece of evidence in the extensive documentation that in fact these things work.
But there seems to be sort of with the marketing, kind of the snake oil salesman.
Yes.
You know, the guy comes into town in the wild, wild west with, you know, this tonic that will cure everything. And, you know, and then you,
and you should see their webpage. On the front page, there's this really buff-looking guy with the six-pack abs.
That was me, by the way.
And he's wearing, in a younger, former life in an alternate dimension, no doubt. And he's wearing, you know, like either boxer shorts or something like that. And some hot chick is just grabbing the waistband and pulling him out and peering down. And, I mean, you know, it's the beautiful people.
And she doesn't have a magnifying glass.
No, she doesn't. So, long story short, as much as I was ready to sort of rip on these guys this morning, you know, there really is no clinical evidence that you get size increase, but, you know, vasodilators could help your sex life. So there is something real there.
Well, and also ginseng. I don't know if we're ready to get onto the ginseng issue.
Right?
But so ginseng tea is ginseng is a root that grows in Korea, and it's a product that comes out of there. And it's actually, it's been linked to a number of different things, mm-hmm. but essentially it does help with blood flow. And
right. It is a well-documented
vasodilator. Right. And personal testimonial here, but I had been taking the, quote, instant form. It's a powder, and you put it in hot water and drink it. And I was having 6 cups a day, and as I've confessed before, I have trouble remembering names.
Okay, so you're going on the record saying this was not for any sort of sexual dysfunction problem.
I'm not mentioning that.
Okay.
Yeah, it's on the air. Yeah,
okay.
I'm not, you know.
Okay.
but anyway, so I had had a meeting the previous day with several guys, and I couldn't remember their names. And ordinarily, I wouldn't have been able to remember names, but I go, you know, it just popped into me, and these were, you know, usually I don't pay attention to this kind of stuff. I'd have to go look at what was written down.
Right.
And I was like, gee, what's the name of that health club in downtown Decatur? And it popped into my head.
Right.
So, I mean, the effect was, you know, all of a sudden, I didn't think I could remember these things. It's in a dark recess of my brain. But it helped sufficiently with mental function that I could remember.
Right.
I could do
right.
something I couldn't ordinarily do.
Right.
And so, there are all kinds of claims with ginseng. But
right.
there's also
right.
the primo kind, which one of my Korean graduate students, Sang Lee, who's now at Samsung in Korea, mm-hmm. has graduated. It was the primo stuff. It was like a 6-ounce jar uh-huh. of this thick gel, and it had been aged for 5 years. So one would sort of surmise there's some kind of microbial activity on the ginseng root, and that's sort of part of the that's part of what you're mm-hmm. having.
Yeah, it could be.
You know, consuming this. You know, it's been around for a long, long, long mm-hmm. time, and one could argue that if it's been around for that long, it's not. Well, there's you'd still wonder how much is mental and how much is not,
right.
you know, in terms of just the placebo effect.
Right, so, for example, one of my students, mm-hmm. Yoo-Jen Kim, whose father was the Andy Card to the president of South Korea for a while. He was chief of staff there
okay.
for a while. So this guy comes from a family with influence and money.
Right.
He always brings me back gifts that cost more than my car.
Mm-hmm.
I think the last time he brought me back a Mont Blanc fountain pen,
whoa.
Which I believe is more than the Blue Book value of my car.
I've seen your car, and
yeah,
I think
it
you're
is.
Right.
Yeah, those things are typically $100 or more.
Oh, more. I've,
yeah.
I've got one that costs $400, which is more valuable than your car.
Yeah, my car does not have a Blue Book value of $400. So he brings me back this red ginseng. It's mm-hmm. quite expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say, I'm still trying to figure out what its effect is. But I do get flushed in the face,
mm-hmm.
which is a typical vasodilator response when that happens.
Right.
But so you make a very good point. And this is something you ought to think about when you're looking at whether it's pharmaceuticals or herbal medicines. And just mm-hmm. because something's herbal doesn't mean it's not effective. The problem with herbal medicines is if they rely only on testimonials can be misleading because
mm-hmm.
they don't do what a good clinical study does.
Right.
And this is what you want to look for. And some of these things have been investigated by clinical studies. They always try to do a large group. Unfortunately,
mm-hmm.
you know, that would be thousands and thousands mm-hmm. of people. You rarely get to do that. They always like to do things like double-blind crossover experiments. And double-blind means that, you know, they give you the pill with the active ingredient or they give you a placebo.
Mm-hmm.
And
placebo
they,
means it does nothing at all.
Right, right.
But
it's
it
just,
looks just like the other pills.
It is the sugar starch binder that they press the pill together
mm-hmm.
in with no active ingredient. And, yeah. of course, hopefully you realize that when you take a pill, usually 90 to 99.9% of that is just some sugar powder
mm-hmm.
binder. And you know, the crossover experiment means that they gave you the placebo first for the first 2 weeks and then the regular one for the second, and other people got it reversed.
Mm-hmm.
And double-blind means that neither you nor the person giving the medication or taking the data knows. So there's
right.
no chance to bias. And clearly, a lot of the literature points out there's a reason for biasing in these kind of male enhancement products because
mm-hmm.
they want it to look good. So those are the sorts of things you want to look for. And we'll talk about what a control experiment is right after this break here on Inside the Black Box on Radio Sandy Spring. Springs, 1620 AM and RadioSandySprings.com. Hey, welcome back to Inside the Black Box, where we're talking about the difference between sort of testimonials about, you know, Bill really likes how ginseng helps his memory, I see a clear vasodilator effect, and real studies that do these sort of double-blind crossover tests. And one of the things that a real study always does is a control experiment. So this is something you should always look for if you're looking something up to determine if a product is useful to you. The control experiment is the experiment where you leave what you think is the active ingredient out. And, for example, the placebo is an example of that control experiment. And that tries to filter out the placebo effect, because sometimes if you want something to work real bad, mentally, if it's a subtle thing, you're going to believe that it works.
Right.
And it can get very sophisticated. For example, if you take, we were talking about L-arginine, a simple amino acid, sometimes if they adsorbed amino acids onto surfaces to see how they interact with proteins, what they'll do is, note we said L-arginine, and we had talked about this at a previous show with Larry Bottomley, that the
left-handed.
Right. Yeah. Levorotary is the Latin, so left-handed. It rotates light a certain way.
Actually, sinister is the
Latin. Is that it?
Yeah, that's one of R and S.
Oh, that's for the
sinister
in the actual organic chemistry
nomenclature.
And then what's the other one? Dextrorotary, if it goes the other way. So in any case, most natural amino acids in Mother Nature's proteins are these left-handed ones. You can make the equivalent one that's just got the different symmetry.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes what scientists will do is they'll absorb, for example, three amino acids that tend to absorb proteins. They'll do the R version to see, is it that sequence of amino acids, or just some molecule about the same size?
Mm-hmm.
So these can get very sophisticated. There's also something called a positive control. That's a negative control. A positive control is when you take a known chemical or product or device that works, try that, and see, are you any better than that? So maybe you're better than no effect at all, but you're half as good as what's on the market now. So those are the sorts of things you ought to look for in these studies.
Right. Well, and the other thing that they do, interestingly, I was part of a drug study for cholesterol reduction medication, and, you know, you sign all these papers, and then, you know.
So it wasn't for severe psychoses like I had surmised initially.
That'll be next year.
Okay.
But
let me know. I want to get in on the action.
But that they, they had me sign all these papers, and about halfway through they go, well, gee, can we get your genetic information? Can we sequence your DNA related to, you know, the genes that are thought to relate? And I was going like, no. Given the way the insurance companies are in the U.S., they would decide that they can cut off my insurance because I've got a genetic marker that somebody thinks is related to heart disease, even though there's nobody in my family that's had a heart attack. My grandfather had one when he was 74 years old, and they said he was going to live 6 months, and he lived another 8 years. But, you know, they want as much information, rightly, they want as much information as possible to correlate, in this case, with the statin drugs for cholesterol reduction, how that relates to your genetic makeup. So they want to get as much information as possible, and I didn't know which brand I had, and this was putting two different Lipitor and something else together was kind of the general idea of the study. And it wasn't about how I was feeling. It was just take some blood from me. So the double-blind aspect really had to do with the people making the measurements.
Right, right. They're not allowed to know if you've had the drug or not.
Right, right.
Right.
They're just
going to
do it the whole way. Otherwise, they'll start saying, oh, I saw this. I saw, something that looked.
Yeah. But to that end, you had mentioned in one of your trips to Canada that they have a big DNA sort of database of all these things, which we could never get away with here because insurance companies would jump on that like a pack of dingoes.
Right. So they have with the nationalized health care, people give that information freely because they're not worried about being cut off.
Right. Right.
Having any information.
And I guess to that end, I mean, I was fully prepared to rip these guys because I don't think there is any clinical evidence for this enhancement growth kind of thing. But they're using all the things that people seem to have clear evidence cause vasodilation. So another important thing to look for is a mechanism. Is there some plausible reason why this works? So vasodilation, blood flow, kind of obvious.
Right.
Maybe a lot of people like this product.
Yeah.
I guess my recommendation would be, why not find the right combination at the GNC Center. Dylan, are you humped? What are you singing, dude? This is my 7-year-old son, Dylan. Are you getting tired?
He's doing it. He's in his Cub Scout uniform. Yeah. He's doing a merit badge on erectile dysfunction.
No, it's on radio broadcasting, no doubt. Actually, but we're going to be headed to where are we headed to Scout Expo in Marietta right after this show is over. Are you excited
Dylan
about that, Dylan? Do you want
to
say something, dude? Remember, this is the radio, so you can't use words like poopy head. No? Are you still thinking? We'll get you in the last 10 minutes on our summary.
We
deal?
Can, though.
Okay. So
poopy head.
To that end, understanding Davis is laughing. See, you don't have kids. You're not used to that. A good friend of mine, Dan Mangini, who's a comedian, he's always like, sometimes he talks to little kids, and he's like, I'm out there, and all I'm worried about, I can go up in front of 300 adults and do comedy, and he tours the country, but if he's in front of little kids, all he's thinking is, do they think I'm a dookie head? That's his favorite one. So,
and are they going to say that, shout that out?
No, that's something you would, if you thought a grown-up was a dookie head, Dylan, would you tell him?
No? He might write it on a note.
No, you would. He's
just sort of anonymously.
If you thought daddy was a dookie head, would you tell him? You wouldn't? How come you tell me that all the time at home? Okay, you're being quiet now? All right, we'll get you in on the summary, dude. Just hang tight. So in any case,
ask him what he's learned?
Yes, we'll ask him what he's learned. Daddy and this strange guy named Mr. Bill are very weird. But in any case, another very popular thing out there that goes through the nutritional supplements is glucosamine and chondroitin sulfate. Mm-hmm. And to understand why that works, you need to understand.
So hold on. What is it supposed to be good for?
So it's supposed to be good for osteoarthritis. And here's where you got to get your arthritis is, separated. Osteoarthritis is arthritis, in the joints, pain in the joints that's due to some kind of damage, right? So you have a damage to it. And glucosamine and chondroitin sulfate, along with things like hyaluronic acid, are polymers that they're charged on the side. So in general, when you try to compress them in a fluid, like between the thin layer of your cartilage and other joints, they push back, right. They don't want to be compressed. So they're very good for keeping high viscosity or thickness under pressure.
So other than the extreme case, if somebody's got a little bit of stiffness in their joints after running or something like that or playing basketball, then people take glucosamine chondroitin to help kind of loosen that up.
Yeah, exactly. And the point is, I'm not saying it necessarily works. I read a German study that looked very, very good and indicated it was good. A good friend of mine, Arnie Stancell, who was on the faculty at Georgia Tech Chemical Engineering, swears by it. And he said the first study he read was in dogs. Because you think about it, if you give a headache powder to dogs, you can't really tell if a dog has a headache. But, man, you can tell if they've got joint pain, right?
Right, yeah.
They
suddenly
jump up and start running around.
Right.
So the point is, these are important components in the synovial fluid of your joints. So to give these and then see, an improvement is not – there's a connection there, just like there is for vasodilators. Mm-hmm. No growth, but a little more, blood going there. So understand that a connection, a mechanism, if they can't explain a basic mechanism to you, then you may not want to mess with this stuff. All right, and we'll be back with our wrap-up after this break. You're listening to Inside the Black Box on Radio Sandy Springs, 1620 AM and RadioSandySprings.com. All right, welcome back to Inside the Black Box for our wrap-up here. Now Davis, what's our official wrap-up time? Should we be wrapped up at 2 till, 3 till, 4 till? 2 till. Okay, all right, so we can do that. So before we get to what we've learned on the radio, we are going to let Dylan, my 7-year-old son, chime in on this one. I just want to point out that, in a nice segue to bigger is better, right on the front page of the New York Times this morning, I was reading that the FDA will now allow breast implants made of silicone.
Yay!
And you've been waiting for that one, huh, Bill? Davis, is this a good thing? This is not... Okay, Davis, he's a much younger man than we are. I don't think this is a good thing.
Well, Davis needs to go to Lancaster.
And soil a cab.
Well, after he does that, the women there like to wear a low cut, and they were continuously
readjusting
their puppies over and over again in public. But
we're in the fourth circle of
am I off topic?
Yeah, just no, you're not. We're talking about breast implants.
Yeah, anyway, okay.
But I worry about young guys like Davis because I don't think they know what a normal one looks like.
Yeah.
It's like the Frankenbreast. I mean, they think it's normal to walk on a beach in Fort Lauderdale and be able to tell the time.
Yeah, they've never been in
the
back seat of a car in Mississippi in the springtime and
Now you're off
topic. Mosquito bites, but okay, yeah.
But in any case, the funny thing is that they've always been made of silicone. The bag that they make them out of is silicone rubber, polydimethyl siloxane. It's almost indestructible. This is not something that, like the polyesters we use in vascular grafts, will eventually degrade with time. That's why we use it in scuba gear, right? Water mm-hmm. does not do anything to this. But the funny thing is that I believe they've done two things. They've made the bag thicker, so that's good. And they've actually made the oil inside, which was low molecular weight silicone mm-hmm. polymer, thicker. And there's only two ways to do that. Either they've made it higher molecular weight or they've somehow linked it together so it can't mm-hmm. flow out, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
But the odd thing about it is, and maybe this isn't so bad, and I know why the physicians in this article are for it, because they are better, right? Mm-hmm. The plastic surgeons love this mm-hmm. this news because you the saline ones just don't feel right. Not that I've ever felt that one, honey, if you're listening. But I have not personally. But actually, no, I felt them out of the box, meaning not implanted.
You're doing a lot of backtracking.
No, no, I have actually said, and the saline
thou
ones
protestest too loudly,
don't feel natural.
Eat thou protestest too loudly.
But here's the funny thing, and why maybe this isn't such a bad thing. The reason they spring leaks, literally for a decade we didn't understand why, because, you know, this is a more or less an indestructible bag. There's no mm-hmm. chemical degradation. Mm-hmm. It's because your body doesn't like things being shoved into it. And what it often does is it responds, all right, okay, that was bad. Meaning silicone implants. Okay. Bill just he passed his entire thing of iced tea through his nose.
Okay.
So in any case, what usually happens is you form scar tissue. This goes for vascular grafts and for breast implants, and the scar tissue usually takes the form of this hard, crusty, crystallized layer of collagen protein.
I'm going to Cheetah after the show, okay. by the way, after all
and
this
And you're
going to
do some research on this.
Yes.
And we'll the funny thing is, further. If you saw this movie on HBO mm-hmm. with David Schwimmer called, what was it called, Breast Men?
I don't get it.
About the first breast implants. Did you see
really?
That, Davis? It was a really good show. They would actually Apparently have
to. You've done a lot of research.
No, right? They would have to crack them. So they'd come in after a few months when the scar mm-hmm. tissue would form, and they would literally put their hands on both sides of the breast and push and crack this layer of collagen protein. And what a former dean of engineering at University of Cincinnati, who talked to me about this when I was out there giving a talk a number of years ago, who testified for Dow Corning, mm-hmm. said you'd have this sharp edge of collagen that would poke the hole.
Mm-hmm.
So now at least they understand why, and maybe the fix is to make this a bit broader.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so with that out of the way, so what have we learned today? Let's turn to Dylan first.
Dylan,
so,
what have you learned?
Dylan, what have you learned from today's show?
Daddy's weird on the radio.
Thank you very much. Are you going to share that with Mommy when you get home? All right. Excellent. All right, Bill, have we learned anything at all other than the fact that you're going to go do research at Cheetahs?
No, I think it's very interesting that, you know, that, again, I always am interested in history that, you know, like you say, you know, I think the most salient point is that if there's a mechanism, if there's a molecular mechanism, mm-hmm. For the effect that's being proposed, whatever that is, then there's a chance it's working. The problem with a lot of other drugs is they don't know what the mechanism is.
Right, right.
So in the case of the vasodilators, mm-hmm. You know, the mechanism is known. Mm-hmm. You know,
in some cases, in not all of them, right? The L-arginine article, mm-hmm. Where it's clearly documented, they weren't even sure what the mechanism is.
Well, eventually they found out.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it's nice to have at least a plausible mechanism.
Right,
as well.
But the sad thing is, in a lot of them, they don't know what the mechanism needs to be.
Right.
You know?
Oh, right. And I guess with regard to male enhancements products, mm-hmm. growth. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say no on that.
Yeah, right.
But the reason people aren't returning this product mm-hmm. in droves is vasodilator effect.
That same. Still, keep sending me all those emails. I love getting them.
Oh, right. And,
yeah, don't stop sending them.
For example, you know, some of the ne'er-do-wells I hung out with at college at University of Illinois would swear by the effects of a certain herbal thing that gets smoked from time to time. And mm-hmm. tetrahydrocannabinol and cannabinoid
derivatives.
Were some
of these friends named Pete Ludovic by any chance?
Of course not. I'm a respected member of the scientific
friend.
Community.
It was
yeah,
his
and we're
going
to say friend with regard to your excessive use of ginseng.
Yes.
So in any case, it's
well, he told me about
that's that a well-known vasodilator as well. Mm-hmm. So the point is, maybe there is something to this, and it's more of this vasodilation, not mm-hmm. so much growth. And hey, if that works for you, that's
right.
great.
Right.
Other than that, I guess the take-home message is the reason it's so complicated with mm-hmm. regard to, you know, whether it's erectile dysfunction or any sort of physiological effect. And I learned this in working with my colleague Mark Prousens now at Georgia Tech. Is and you've got a copy in front of you. We've got a link to this on the website at the University of Ottawa. I think it's the biomechanics lab. It's the best list of Murphy's Laws of Technology. And the one to remember is that, you know, given the most rigorously controlled conditions, the organism will do what it damn well pleases.
Well, and Murphy's Law, for those uninitiated,
right,
is that everything that can go wrong will go wrong. So it's basically, if you're trying to do anything, you need to think of everything that could possibly go wrong.
Right.
And that's why it takes 20 years to get a drug out, because they've got to work through everything that could
right.
go wrong with the drug.
And what we're doing wrong is rambling on. So Davis
yes,
is giving us the sign. We'll be
yes.
back next week with Facundo Fernandez talking about counterfeit drugs here on Inside the Black Box. See you next week on Radio Sandy Springs.